Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow, here we are. Once again, it's been a few years since I've been here. Oh gosh, just approaching it, I'd completely forgotten how splendid it is, this place. I'm just gonna sit down and take my bag off. It's the city of Lucca. Oh wow, in Tuscany. We've come away from the coast. We spent last night in Viareggio after a very long drive. And I've driven for half an hour to the finish line in Lucca. And many, many of you will know Lucca, won't you? It's not exactly a secret, but it's an absolute jewel in the Tuscan crown, all Italian crown, really, with its intact, amazing intact medieval walls. Last time I came here, I was told by the landlady of the B&B we were staying in that you could run around. And the first morning I woke up quite early, and you can run around the entire city walls. And you can, they're all intact. A really wide rampart that they build up on, actually. And I think it's something like 5 kilometres round. And I ran around it twice in different directions and passed Mario Cipollini, who is obviously disgraced these days, having been handed a suspended sentence and a conviction. Yeah, I ran past Mario Cipollini wearing compression socks and a kind of sleeveless singlet and wearing a headband with his enormous teeth and dark glasses, and kind of exchanged a ciao as I rode past him, as I ran past him. And my other stand-up memory of the brief time we spent in Lucca a couple of years ago was walking through the city at dusk listening, a bit like in Greenwich, actually, where the music college offers a similar, in the old Naval College, the music college seated down there offers a similar experience, that you can walk through a courtyard and windows are open and you can hear individual classical musicians from the academy practicing their craft, and there's this kind of free-form cacophony of different music coming and filling the space. It's just beguiling. I remember experiencing that in Lucca as well. What I didn't realise, though, and I've only just kind of sat here and figured out, because I saw a poster walking into Lucca today for on the 13th of May, so starting very soon, next week, there is a brief Chet Baker festival in Lucca. Chet Baker, of course, the famous, slightly tragic singer, composer, jazz trumpeter of the 1950s with that muted, very restrained style, very distinctive. I think he's an absolute genius. And I didn't realise he had this strong connection with Lucca. In fact, jazz itself in Lucca was a big deal. As soon as it could find its expression post-Mussolini, like all fascist regimes, jazz was suppressed through the 1930s and 40s and was almost a clandestine activity. And when it was once again allowed in the late 1940s, a quartet, the famous Quartetto di Lucca, got together. Giovanni Tommaso on double bass, his brother Vito on piano, Antonello Vanucci on vibraphone, a brilliant instrument, and Giampiero Giusti on drums, all from Lucca. And they used to play in a basement club in the Piazza San Giovanni, right near the Duomo. And that they got together, founded this kind of jazz scene here. And in the 1956, Chet Baker, this young American, arrived in Tuscany. Remember somewhere the sun is shining, and so the right thing to do is make it shine. Basing himself at first in Florence, where he befriended Giampiero Giusti, the drummer of the Lucca Quartet, and they began to play together. And in fact, the Lucca Quartet and Chet Baker toured all of Italy in 1958 together. And Baker himself, although he never lived here, spent a lot of time in Lucca down the years, always checking in brilliantly to the same hotel, in fact the same room in the same hotel, the Hotel Universo, and he always stayed in room 15. He could open his window and sit in the windowsill looking out onto the piazza, the Teatro del Giglio Piazza, where he actually performed on a variety of occasions. But Luca was also the scene of one of his darker moments, because he was descending into drug use, Chet Baker. And on the night of July the 31st in 1960, he took a heroin overdose and was found near in a petrol station toilets just outside the city. 20 days later, after that, he was arrested and indicted. He was tried in Lucca and convicted. And his he was actually sentenced to 7 years in jail. And in the end, they had his sentence reduced to 2 years. And he actually served 16 months in Lucca's prisons. In Lucca's prison. I just had no idea of that story. Lucca is where the stage finishes today.
A heart full of joy and gladness will always banish sadness and strife. So always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
Never Strays Far is proud to be supported by BICMO Cycle Insurance, protecting the world's riders and the places we ride. Head to BICMO.com and use the code NSF24 on their quote page to get 12 months of award-winning BICMO insurance for the price of 11. Terms apply. Well, the countdown is starting now. I've just heard in my ear, that's just Matt talking to our producer, Jess. I've just heard in my ear from Jess, breaking news, 1 minute to on air, Matt.
Looking forward to this. It's sunny, done a recon, headwind finish. We're both quite buoyant today, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we're chipper. We played a bit of music in the car on the way here.
We did.
Bit of Radiohead, yeah, bit of Eurythmics as well.
Yeah, and
30 seconds
on Nick Cave as well. But have a good one, Ned. I'm looking forward to this. Thanks for my nonsense as well. I've got some pineapple and some blueberries.
Okay. All right, well, I'm looking at the clock now. It's counting down 19 seconds. I've got a monitor in front of me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to carry on podding right up to the point where I press my little red button on channel A and go on air. It's a bit of brinkmanship. I'm just going to try and describe what's happening. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the monitor cuts to black, and now we're seeing the titles. So you see the logo of the Giro d'Italia. I'll adjust the international sound to the right level of volume to be against that. We're seeing sort of like flying drone shots of Italy. We see Vesuvius.
Dramatic music.
Really dramatic. Flying through Pompeii, drone shots up in the mountains, up in the high mountains of Dolomiti.
Some hairpin bends, up, down, Rome.
It's reaching its crescendo now. And here's the bit where Matt says,
Giro d'Italia is presented by
Padano cheese.
And now some of the energy goes out. We've got a lady parting a great big cheese.
She's parting a cheese. And then somebody looking skyward and dreaming perhaps of some Velux blinds.
Yeah, Velux windows. We've got about 20 seconds until I start talking. And now, I think it's tyres, isn't it? Car tyres.
Yeah, so, obviously green.
Right, here we go. So it's 10 seconds until I start talking actually on the telly. This is real brinkmanship here.
It was.
Welcome once again. Day 3 of the Sprinters' Carnival in the opening week of the Giro as the race heads south from Liguria and into Tuscany. Plenty of hills along the way, the route heading inland from Camaiore, making the final a little more complicated than some of the fast men might like. So far at the Giro, it's been one apiece for both Tim Bollea and yesterday for Jonathan Milan. From Ponte Cometa has launched a big, big raid a long way out, and he might be very difficult to cut. He's tying up. Here comes Thomas. Valgren and Thomas come to the fore, and Benjamin Thomas wins stage 5, and it could hardly have been closer. Here's the sprint for 5th place, and that's all they're going to get. It goes to Jonathan Milan ahead of Caleb Ewan. Who cares?
perché romantica, perché romantica. Tu sei.
Well, the reason he's laughing, the reason he's laughing is because we've got to plan A, isn't it? Well, we just don't. Wasn't cool from there.
No, it was like 6 minutes, maybe.
6 or 7 minutes, really quite good podcasting. Although you were getting a bit bogged down in the story you were telling.
Yeah,
maybe a bit long, I don't know.
Maybe.
It's a blessing in disguise.
No, or just maybe you were like, God, this is dull. And your index finger just gently went on the gain, moved it down to one as a subtle way to reset the whole situation. You're looking at me a little bit guilty, mate.
No, there's nothing. It's because it was flowing quite well. We were telling the story of unprecedented things that had happened today and how unusual today was in terms of the race result. And then in terms of we won't relive it all, but we got stuck in a traffic jam in a motorway service station just now, which is really unusual. I've never been in a traffic jam in a motorway service station. Matt got out to have a wee, and then you got to the front of the motorway service station jam that I couldn't quite see what was going on. I was still behind the wheel of the car, and he sent me a long voice note that we played. Should we play it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's played actually it. Quite good.
We played it on the speakers of the car, and it sounds like this.
Hey Ned, yeah, basically there's a couple of lorries that are parked badly, and the lorry can't get through the gap.
Badly.
So I'm trying to gently, centimetre by centimetre, manoeuvre the lorry so I can get through the gap.
It's very exact reportage.
There's not a lot of space, so they're trying to find another lorry driver to move their cab.
Trying to find another lorry driver?
That's what it is. So.
They were looking around. I was accused of being a lorry driver briefly. They said, is this your cab? I was like,
no, you've got a big Giro d'Italia t-shirt on. But anyway.
Not moving yet, just looking at the situation. Anyway, I'm still...
It cuts off. I'm just going to go
for a wee.
Go for a wee.
Again, because I thought, do you know what I'm doing? I'm waffling unnecessarily, because although I was trying to give you information, what that wasn't doing was helping the situation, apart from delaying us. And I know that your tolerance for time, because it's a long day, there isn't any. So I thought, do you know what I'm going to do? Go for a wee. Did a wee, got up, bought some Pringles, pizza flavoured Pringles, which are flipping lovely. You don't like the smell. No. I think they're flipping great.
You popped open the kind of like the sealable lid thing, and a waft of pizza based
chemicals
just filled the car almost instantly. But that's fair enough. That's only, you're gaining a form of revenge from the fact that I keep poaching the innards of the car with sort of like, I wash my running kit, Matt, in the bidet, which is fine. Because
I haven't, but I would.
Well, where do you wash your kit? In the just sink?
In the sink. So either in the sink or in the shower. So the last couple of days I've done them I've been showering in the morning after sport but washing my pants in the evening. So they've been in the sink either with shower gel or with just like, I just rub the soap bar.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. The really kind of like the circular disc soap bars, they're very poor quality soap.
They're really poor. They're hardly even
it's harder. Not really, I'll be honest, it's not really getting the sweat out of my running kit. So I do apologise, because I've been drying the kit in the back of the car during the day while we're commentating, and you come in, because it suddenly got quite hot in Italy, you open the car door and it's like poached man sweat soap.
It is. Poached running gear with a scent of...
Are we?
Yeah.
Fucking seriously? No. 1.3. Yes, we are. Yeah, we are.
Fuck!
We are.
No.
Tu sei romantica.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sorry, mate.
That ended quite abruptly, that little bit of podcasting, because we had a road situation to deal with. So that's why I interspersed that with a little bit of
music, I think. I must remember to actually put the music in the edit, otherwise it won't make sense.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Because that was actually quite...
I don't know. Let's reboot. Let's reboot the pod. Some of my favourite bits of commentating today, Matt, along with you, involved Liguria.
Yes.
I found a curious number of little locations on the Ligurian coast that quite specifically meant something. Three.
Oh, yeah.
In no particular order. Camoglia, where if you are attentive listeners to Never Stray Far over recent months, you will know, I might have mispronounced it, I spent a night all on my own in between Milano Torino and Milan San Remo in that edition of the pod.
I'm semi-involved in this anecdote as well, aren't I, because of the footage you sent me.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we saw that from the air, didn't we, with the little church, the Church of the Ascent, the Basilica Santa Maria Assunta, and the little bay, and I actually pointed out the specific townhouse I'd stayed in. That was wonderful.
And the room almost. Yeah. There was the little awning, the little blue awning, yeah, and then I on our monitor I could see
the,
where you...
And the windows, the sea view, the sunset outside, and the rocking chair that I finished reading Emile Zola's Germinal in. Then, shortly after that, there was, I'm not doing it in the correct order, but there was another bay called...
Bay of Silence.
Bay of Silence, which I know because there's a facilities house in London where I do some voiceover work from time to time, which has in its lobby actually an audiobook recording, that's what it is, has in its lobby a big plasma screen monitor of the webcam from the Bay of Silence. So I've stared at that and having my tea break sort of like quite often, so it's very familiar to me. And then the final little inlet, tiny little bay, was one of the Byron related locations that Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan, yep, visit in the second series of the trip, which I didn't find as funny as the first series of the trip. I'll be perfectly honest.
Progressively less funny, still very good, but yeah, less laughs basically, but still wonderful. But yeah,
and that centres on a bit of a diet. Well, nothing much. What point was happening in the race at that moment?
Do you know what? I can't remember because we were talking about Lord Byron's journeys and experiences and encounters, and
you said he fathered
multiple children, but only one of his children was legitimate, and that was Ada Lovelace, one of the one of the inventors, or the precursor to the first ever computer,
yeah.
And it was her knowledge of, she was a preeminent mathematician, and then teamed up with Charles Babbage, didn't she, to create the first computer back in the day, or a preliminary computer.
I thought it was really interesting. I didn't know that, but I've now remembered what was happening in the race at this point.
I can't.
Simon Geschke, Louis Askey,
yep,
and two other chaps from the peloton were up the road. But they were only given like a minute and something, and we were heading towards the big climb of the day. And Emmanuel Gebrek-Jabir and Peter Seri were riding on the front. So it was quite a stable race situation, and we were waiting for that climb. That's what was happening at that point. So we were allowed, really, by law, to go on a big diversion.
And we were. And also, the graphic did say that, didn't it? Did it say that Byron had stayed there? No, it didn't.
No,
I imagine.
I don't know how much of our world feed audience actually knew what we were talking about when we were starting out, Steve Coogan, Rob Brydon, but yeah, it was interesting, and that prompted me to talk a bit about the letter he wrote to Sir Thomas More, his friend. We'll go no more roving so late into the night, though my heart still be full of wonder and the
full of love
and the moon so full of light, or something, I can't,
yes,
remember,
something
like that,
yep.
Which I know is a Byron verse, but I also know much more familiarly because it's a Leonard Cohen song as well, and it was quite, I thought it was quite beautiful. And can you remember the backstory as to why he wrote that to his friend?
Because at the age of the ripe old age of 29, there was a festival, wasn't there, that he got involved in, a festival of excess, overeating,
it's carnival.
Yeah, carnival, sorry, festival.
Yeah, carnival. Ligurian carnival.
And he basically became, I don't know, aware of the fact that he'd gone a little bit too far and backed off and entered into a period of abstinence, didn't he, in terms of food and probably everything else, and reflection.
Yeah. I think that's it. And I know it because of this. Leonard Cohen, Matt.
It's absolutely fantastic. I don't know this song.
He's about to start But look, there's a big truck there that says EPO Transport. Invest in sustainability, EPO. So late into the night. Be full of yearning, loving, you're right. And the moon be still as bright. So that was our Lord Byron connection. Anyway, I'll just fade that down like a disc jockey, like
that's
a pro.
Proper disc jockey. Yeah. There's a little, it's worth mentioning that where you faded that down is a lovely little knob near to the, or a dial, or a kind of inset dial. Quite old school, just near the
it's
near
the trundle
handbrake.
Wheel.
Yeah, trundle wheel. It's quite tactile, isn't it? But I've never seen one on a car like that. And so you're able to you're able to fade it quite well. I've never done that before in the pod.
No,
nice.
No. And then the race. So they got caught.
Yep. They did, and then
they got caught, and then there was a sprint.
And then, yeah, Albertson de Koenig ripped it, dropped half the sprinters from the main bunch, carried on down the descent. There was a bit of a kicker, carried on over the kicker, then basically stopped. Everybody got back on,
and they just all went, well, that was funny, wasn't it? And had a little chat. And for about 30k, they just rolled along, didn't they, at 35 kilometres an hour.
Nobody attacked for a bit. People dropping back, getting food, and there was a good half an hour, 35, 40 minutes of. Not much.
And I started rubbing my eyes a little bit. And then they went through another sprint, didn't they? Another sprint. And
Benjamin Thomas attacked on this little drag and took that group clear.
Valgren. Pietrobon
and
Enzo Pallini.
Yeah. So four in the move. Never gained more than a minute and a half and ended up
winning the bloody bike race.
The bike race in quite spectacular style. I mean, it did, because we were sitting on chairs while we commentate. We were literally sitting on the edge of our seats. It was a brilliant finale and a massive miscalculation by Albertson de Koenig and some of the other sprint teams as well. I think they had to, although Albertson de Koenig got it wrong, I think the other sprint teams, they played the brinkmanship game a little bit too far, and in the end, everybody lost apart from Cofidis, who took their first win of the entire year. And I couldn't be more pleased with it. And that moment at the end, after, just before the podiums, when there was a shot of Jonathan Milan sat next to Thomas Champion, sat on a chair, and they were speaking Italian.
Benjamin Thomas.
Sorry, I'm getting my Cofidis riders mixed up.
Well, they've got both got Thomas in the name, haven't they?
They have. And Benjamin Thomas is a champion now, isn't he?
Isn't it funny, in this peloton, there are two riders with the first name Thomas as a second name in this peloton.
Yeah, Geraint.
And Benjamin.
Will there be a strange synergy there by the end? Will there be a winner in Lucca and a winner in Rome?
Imagine if they got up the road together, hey?
That'd be a good duo, wouldn't it? They'd be hard to beat. Both two trackies, two good road men.
Yeah.
I mean, what a potent force. And both wearing a lot of red.
Yeah.
Unlikely, though, isn't it?
I can't quite see the situation. Yeah, no, I love that. I also quite like shouting when... So 11 seconds after the race was won, there was a sprint for fifth place, wasn't there, with Milan, the Milan one. And I kind of called that over the line, and I quite enjoyed shouting because it just came from the heart. Don't care.
I think you might have said that, didn't you?
Yeah, I was definitely thinking it, and I think it actually came out of my mouth. But I don't care.
Well, that's kind of, and it's just kind of monologue becoming briefly externalised.
Yeah,
it happens sometimes. That is quite healthy, quite honest.
Yeah, I think it just echoes the. Oh, that's the old sound of a. That's the sound of a telephone going down the
gap. Chair.
We need a word for that particular gap.
I bet there is one in German or in. Is there one in German?
Alto Zwischenkluft.
Yeah, Alto Zwischenkluft. I like that.
Alto Zwischenkluft.
Alto Zwischenkluft.
Yeah.
I like that. It sounds right though, doesn't it?
Yeah. But you can also turn it into a compound abstract noun. So if you describe yourself as falling into an Altersvisionkluft, it just means that particular type of depression that's probably quite short-lived, but it's going to be naggingly difficult to get out of.
Christ, that got a bit deep, didn't it? Quite quickly. But luckily, the phone that slipped between the gap is tethered by leads. You can gently ease it out.
I bought in Turin the day after Milano-Torino.
In indeed.
But for my journey to the Ligurian coast.
It's the one we leave, it's the communal one. Thank you very much. It's the one we just share that just stays in the car all the time. It's a good idea, that one.
We're good at sharing stuff.
Good idea. We do share stuff.
I bought you a fruit salad.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice, thank you.
By the way, I bought you a couple of Kinder eggs the other day. They looked disgusting.
They were interesting. It was like a room temperature chocolate mousse.
It properly looked disgusting. I only apologise.
Don't apologise.
I was attracted by the fact they came in a little kind of like cardboard egg carton.
Yeah.
Like it was a two pack, yeah, wasn't it?
Like an actual
egg. I like the fact that. So I thought there's two, there's one each. But I put them because you're more kind of in tune with things like that. But I thought.
Like Kinder eggs?
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
I'll give them to Matt. But he'll probably give me one and eat the other. But I could see out the corner of my eyes, midway through yesterday's stage, the day before, I could see that you were you'd opened it up, and it did look properly disgusting. And I love the fact that from that moment on, I didn't see them again. So at no point did you go, "Do you want yours, mate? Do you want yours or anything?" Well, it was obviously so bad, you just jettisoned the whole lot never mentioned it again, as if it was like a bad idea that should never have been.
There's another story. So basically, because they're Kinder eggs, they've got a toy inside. So basically, there was no chocolate egg. So basically, one half was a gooey kind of chocolatey substance with two balls in. So it was like a Müller fruit corner, but not with yogurt in it, but with I don't know how can I describe it. Like, what's that kind of hazelnut paste and like Nutella? And then in the other half of the egg was a toy. A small toy that I didn't really feel like I could assemble on air, and also it was a Harry Potter themed egg. So, and I'm not a big fan of Harry Potter. So I thought I'll leave that for later. And then you packed stuff up and left to go and do your voiceover after the race had finished. And I saw this Kinder egg and I didn't want it. I didn't like it. I knew that you wouldn't really want it, so I gave it to the sound engineer and he looked really pleased.
All is well that ends well. And since you mentioned Harry Potter, let's just play you out with this. Again, going back into the Never Strays Far archives, you may remember that 18 months ago, Never Strays Far sponsored, in inverted commas, a round of the British National Cyclocross Championships down in Torbay. And we did a special weekend podcast super bumper edition that involved me, Pete and David crawling into the English Channel in November, early one morning, over some rocks and slicing ourselves to bits on the rocks and screaming. All that audio is available on that particular podcast. But more interestingly perhaps than that, and the report from the reportage from the cyclocross event, was we met a rider I'd never heard of, I'll be perfectly honest, who, it transpired, had just signed for Cofidis, and I think he was 19 years of age. He was introduced to us by some of the local riders down there, and his name was Harrison Wood. And he said, "I've just signed for Cofidis." And David, who was a former Cofidis rider, went, "Congratulations, my old team," and all that. We had a bit of a natter. And here he is, barely 18 months on, making his Grand Tour debut. And he just happened to be a teammate of Benjamin Thomas on the day that Cofidis got their first win of the season. He sent me this voice note.
So, yeah, what a day, I guess. Wasn't expecting that this morning, not going to lie. But yeah, crazy. Still a bit speechless, actually. It's we sort of thought maybe it would be a 50-50 chance of a breakaway today. I spoke with Dan this morning, Daniel, at the start, and also with Eurosport, and I said, yeah, maybe 50-50 chance. But yeah, Alpecin, they rode really hard on the climbs just to drop. I think just to try and drop sprinters or to make them really suffer. So it was actually a pretty hard day. And they got to the bottom of the climb and they rode super easy. They did the intermediate sprint and then Ben attacked after this, which was, yeah, really clever. And in fact, with four guys, I think they underestimated the strength of the guys in front. You know, you had Valgren and Ben, you know, two really strong guys. Enzo Pellini, also super good time trialist in France. And Pietro Bon from Aola, who I raced a lot against in under 23, so I knew he was also good. I think they really messed up, actually. But I think Alpecin, the way they rode, they used up too many guys on the climb, maybe, and then paid the price. And I think they just screwed everyone that then in the end, actually, nobody wanted to help. You know, Jumbo didn't want to help. Jaco came right at the end, but was too late. It was tailwind. We were riding like 60k an hour. When you're riding that fast, you don't close the gap that quick. That's the first Cofidis win for a while. We've finally broken broken the duck. But yeah, hopefully now more to come, you know, in the way that Giro's a massive success already for the team, you know. But yeah, now we try to do better. We see what we can do, and yeah, it'd be nice for myself to try and do a Ben now, really, you know. But yeah, he's a special guy. And also now for the Olympics, I think he's put in a big statement from today for his chances in the Omnium and stuff like that. So yeah, should be good. Looking forward to a nice dinner now. Actually, I don't really drink now, actually. Maybe a bit of champagne. I think if I drink too much, you probably won't see me at the start tomorrow morning. That's the only thing. But yeah, really amazing day. And yeah, looking forward to tomorrow now. And then, yeah. Speechless, really, actually.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.